Well, grab your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 14. We have been looking at the topic, God with us. We began by seeing how God is with us in the wilderness. Even when we go through hard times, even when we go through the difficulties of life, God is there with us. Last week we saw that God is with us as we go into the promised land. That no matter where God calls us, God is going to go ahead of us to prepare the way. And today we're going to continue as we look at God is with us by sending a helper to live in us in the power of the Holy Spirit. So a few weeks ago, we were having some problems with the hot water heater at the house. You could get in the shower, turn the hot up all the way, and it's just warm. Talking with someone else, they said, sounds like your heating element's going out in the water heater. So I said something to Mr. James, and he called the company where we got the hot water heater from, and they came. And so when the guy got there, I told him, this is what the hot water heater's doing. A couple people said it's probably the heating element, and he just laughed. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, that's gas. It doesn't have a heating element. And so he's like, they don't have elements. And so he looked at it for a minute, and then he changed one setting from low to high. And just like that, the water was fixed. We had a situation that we needed help with, so we went to the source of where we got the equipment from. In life, we need help. Who better to go to for help than the author of life? God promised that He would never leave us alone, but send us a helper. So when we have troubles in life, when things aren't working like we think they should, or things aren't up to par, then we need to go to God. He is the one who can get us on the right track. So as we continue our series, God with Us, today we will see He is with us in the person of the Holy Spirit as a helper to navigate life. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 16. And this is Jesus speaking. He says, "And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells in you and will be in, He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this incredible, beautiful passage that You give to us, where Jesus promises to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would just let the Spirit take over this morning. Lord, I pray now that I would get out of the way and I'd let the Spirit take control. I pray I'd sit down, that You'd stand up. And Lord, I pray everything said here today would not be me, but would be You and be the power of Your Spirit moving in Your church. Lord, I pray that You would just strengthen us and encourage us and be with us. And I pray that You would speak to our hearts today. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen. And so Jesus says, "I will pray the Father." And so John 14 takes place as part of the last speeches of Jesus. John 14, 15, 16, 17. These are Jesus's end speeches to His disciples before He's about to die and go to the cross. He knows what's about to happen. He knows He's about to be betrayed. He knows He's about to die. He knows He's about to experience the pain and the suffering of the cross. And so as He gets ready to go to the cross, He prepares His disciples. He tells them what's about to happen. And He knows that His death and resurrection is going to, that at His death, all His followers are going to desert Him. He knows it's going to cause them to be dispersed. He knows that it's going to lead to difficulties. He knows that they're going to have trouble. But He tells them that it's going to be okay. So Jesus is taking the time to prepare His disciples for what's about to happen. They are about to experience their darkest time. And so Jesus tells them that he prays to the Father for them. Once again, we see the beautiful truth that Jesus prays for his followers. He is telling them that he is leaving them to continue the work that he has been doing. He is telling them, I'm getting ready to leave. You're going to stay here and you're going to continue the work which I began. And as they continue his work, he tells them, I'm not going to leave them alone. He's going to pray for them. And he will send them all that they need to do the work that he's called them to do. That's a beautiful reminder about God. God always gives us what we need to do the work he's called us to do. And so he's going to give them the Spirit to help, advise, guide, and come alongside of them. And this is beautiful. He says, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, here's what's interesting. Often we forget sometimes that the Bible was not written in King James English. The Bible was actually written in Hebrew and Greek. Now, in the Greek language, there's two words that's used for another. One is another of the same kind. One is another of a different kind. The one that's used here means another of the exact same kind. So when Jesus says, I'm sending you another helper, he is saying, I am sending you another one just like the one you got. In other words, he is saying that this helper that I'm sending to you, this person that I'm sending to you is just like me. And so he says, I'm going to send you another helper. Now, some depending on what translation, it could say advocate, it might say helper, it might say comforter. And well, which one's right? Yes. The word that's used there is it's one of those words that's hard to translate into English. It literally means one who comes alongside of. And so the Holy Spirit is a helper. He is an advocate. He is a counselor. He is a guide. He is all these things wrapped up into one, and he's just like Jesus. This helper will be there to help them and to be with them forever. And so from this, we see a few very powerful roles of the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Holy Spirit is a helper. He will guide us down the path that we are to walk. You and I have been given the Spirit of Holy God to lead us, to teach us, to guide us, and direct us. And again, it amazes me how often we are guilty of saying, well, I believe this is the will of God. And we ask the question, did you pray about it?
Yeah.
And most of the time, we should. But most of the time, people are like, well, no. Well, how do we know it's the will of God if we haven't spent time in prayer? Amen. How do we know if it's the will of God if we have not asked the Holy Spirit? What should we do? So the Holy Spirit is a helper. He is there to help us and lead us and guide us. We see that he is always with us. The Holy Spirit will be there with us even in our darkest times. When we give our heart and our life to Christ, the Spirit of God comes in and lives with us, and he is with us at all times. And we also see that he is truth. He will lead us to do what is right according to the Word. He will never ask us to do something contrary to the Bible. I love when people say, well, I believe God called me to do this. And I look at him and say, no, he didn't, because that completely goes against what the Bible says. God will never call us to do something that is contrary to what the Bible says. God is not going to contradict himself. The Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And here's something that's really awesome. In John chapter 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here in verse 17, Jesus says the Spirit of truth, and the word that is used for truth is the exact same word in both places, helping us to see that the Holy Spirit is an equal part in the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they are three, but they are one. That don't make no sense. Don't have to. Bible says it. That's all we need to know. Because if we could understand the Trinity, then we would be God. We don't need to understand it to believe it. We believe it because that's what the Bible teaches. And if Jesus is truth and the Spirit is truth, then we can trust everything that's being said to us. One of the many things that the Holy Spirit does is help us to see the truth of who Jesus is. The Spirit helps us to see that we need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. The Spirit helps us to know Jesus better and that we can obey His commands. The Spirit helps us to be the men and women that God has called us to be. The Spirit of God is there to guide us, to help us and lead us. In John 14, 6, Jesus is the truth. In John 14, 17, the Spirit is truth. And we can trust that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit is going to speak truth to us each and every step of the way. And we can trust that the Holy Spirit is God. And here's something really awesome. Listen to this excerpt from this commentary. This hit me hard this week. Have you ever wished Jesus was sitting next to you and you could have a face-to-face conversation with Him? Have you ever found yourself longing to tell Him all about your day and ask Him to help you make sense of it all? We have that ability and opportunity because of the Spirit. Just as Jesus could comfort and strengthen His disciples, we can be comforted and strengthened through His Spirit who dwells within us. Anything that we would want to have a conversation with Jesus about, we can talk to the Holy Spirit about. If you've ever been like, man, I just wish I could ask God this. Well, we've got the Spirit living in us. We can. We have the Holy Spirit. So here's some questions for us to think about today. Do we understand the role that the Spirit plays in our lives? Do we truly understand that the role the Holy Spirit has? Sadly, as Southern Baptists, we've gotten to the point where we're so afraid of anything supernatural that we have limited and tied the hands of the Holy Spirit. We are taught, I grew up in a small country church. I was taught growing up that when you're in church, you don't raise your hand, you don't say amen, you don't say anything. If you do, daddy's going to take you out and whoop you a good one. That's not biblical. And so we're almost afraid of anything supernatural taking place. We're afraid of things that we cannot explain. And often when people start to tell us stories of things that we can't understand, we often say, that's just crazy. Because we like to buy the Holy Spirit, because we like to tie the hands of God, because we want everything to be wrapped up nice, neat, in our little bow the way we think it should be. And if anything steps outside of those bounds, if anything goes against what we were taught or what we've always believed or what we've always thought, it scares us. And we wonder what's wrong with our churches today. It's because we've kicked the Holy Spirit of God out. When we come to business meetings, we vote based on what we want, not what God wants. When we come to church, we've got all these different people coming together. This is my opinion, this is my opinion, this is my opinion. And not one of us have asked the Holy Spirit. We get mad and upset and leave the church because we didn't get our way and we never asked, Spirit, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to stay? Do you want me to go? Because there's only two reasons someone should ever leave a church. There's only two reasons. Number one, God calls you through the power of the Holy Spirit to go somewhere else and serve. Number two, God stops going there. Those are the only two reasons anyone, well, so-and-so made me mad. Get over yourself. Stop acting like a two-year-old. You're going to get made mad no matter where you go. And that's just the way it is. We are the ones that hinder the Holy Spirit. Because we argue and debate and fight and fuss. And often it's over things that have absolutely no eternal value whatsoever. Well, I want the carpet to be purple. Well, I want the carpet to be garnet. We ain't even going there. It's going to be Ohio State red. we ain't even going there. Well, we fight over the silliest things. Where's the Holy Spirit? We put the Holy
Spirit in a box. We've limited His power.
And we're just like, so do we understand the role that the Spirit plays in our life? Do we truly understand who the Holy Spirit is and the role that He plays in our life? Do we know that we can come to Him just as Peter and John went to Jesus? Peter and John could walk right up to Jesus and ask Him anything. Do we realize that we can do this with the Holy Spirit of God? Do we understand the power and the presence that we have of God living in us? God is actually living in us. We are the temple of Holy God. Do we seek His advice and counsel? Do we seek Him, Lord? You know, this is one of those things that I'm working on. Pray then speak, instead of speak then pray, that after I done messed everything up. If we could just learn to seek the Spirit before we open our mouth sometimes, we would be in a lot better place. Because most of the time I get myself in trouble because I speak the first thing that pops into my head, and that's not always a good thing. Sometimes we just need to step back, we need to pray, we need to seek the Spirit and see what He would have to say. We need to get to the point where we rely totally on the Holy Spirit. We need to put Him in His proper place. He is the Spirit of God living in us. If everything that we do as a church can be explained through human effort, we are not trusting the Holy Spirit. Ooh. Sometimes we need to step out on faith and trust the Spirit of God. If God is calling us to it, He'll provide it. Nothing stifles the Spirit of God faster than we can't afford that. Nothing stifles the Spirit of God, but we don't have the people to do that. We don't have the means to do that. We don't have the ability to do that. So what we're saying is, God can't do it. And that ain't true. Because if God has called us to do it, ain't nothing can stand in the way or stop it. Sometimes He puts us in these positions to see if we will trust Him, to see if we will put our faith in Him, to see what's going on. I remember probably about a year or so ago, all of us is kind of freaking out a little bit when we're looking at the general checking and we're sad because it's like down to $18,000 in general checking and we're like, what are we going to do? And as of today, it's over $45,000. God is good. But yet we still say, we can't do that. We can't do this. We can't do that. We don't have the funds to do this or that. What the world? And we've not even asked the Spirit. We just naturally say, well, we can't do that. We need to rely on the Spirit. We need to trust in the Spirit. The beautiful thing about the Spirit is He's going to abide with us forever. Jesus says that even though He is leaving them, He will send someone to always be with His followers to help them. The Spirit is one tremendous promise. The Spirit of God is with us at all times, in all seasons. The Spirit lives in the people of God forever. But sadly, not everybody knows the Spirit. Not everybody knows Him. Because Jesus also says in verse 17, He says, "Whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Jesus says that when the Spirit comes, the world will not see Him or know Him. This shouldn't shock us. It should make perfect sense because the world didn't see Jesus. The world didn't know Jesus. The Pharisees knew the Old Testament better than anybody, but they still rejected the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. Instead of seeing Him as their Messiah, they rejected Him and sent Him off to be crucified. The world will not understand the Spirit just as it did not understand Jesus. Sadly, we don't understand the Spirit ourselves. Again, as I said a while ago, as Baptists, we're afraid of anything supernatural because we don't want to be called Pentecostal. I mean, that's one of the worst things you can call a Baptist. But we're so afraid of a move of God. We're so afraid of God doing anything special. It's like I've said sometimes,
You know, we get excited about our favorite shows. We get excited about our favorite sporting events. We get excited about our favorite teams, and the whole world knows who we root for. But they don't know our love for Jesus. I was joking with somebody this morning. I'm not going to call them out. But I was joking with somebody this morning, and sadly it's true with me, and it's probably true with most of us. Pick your favorite team. Can you tell me the starting lineup for your favorite football or baseball team? Can you tell me the starting rotation? And most of you would be like, yeah, of course, I'll tell you. Now tell me the 12 tribes of Israel. So what you're saying is you know football, but not the Bible. What you're saying is you know baseball or your favorite team, but not the Bible. We know stats and facts about our favorite teams, but we don't know stats and facts about the Bible. Who are the 12 tribes of Israel? Do we understand that Levi is not included in there because of a special calling that was put upon his life and his descendants' lives? And as we think about all of this, we are the ones that tie up the Spirit of God, because we are not seeking the Spirit of God. We are seeking ourselves. We're seeking our own way. Just as people would not accept Jesus on this earth, just as people still don't accept Jesus today, people don't accept the Spirit. We don't accept Him. All around us, we see people that are lost and dying and going to hell because they reject the truth of Jesus. The Bible is very clear. The only way to heaven is through the precious blood of Jesus. I get asked often, well, how can a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't. People choose to go to hell. God gives you the option. Choose Jesus and get heaven. Reject Jesus, get hell. You choose where you go. And the Holy Spirit convicts us of that truth. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our need for Jesus. And sadly, people continue to reject the call of the Spirit on their life to come to faith in Jesus. People hear the message of Jesus week after week and still leave unchanged. People hear week after week the need to surrender their lives to Jesus and still walk away unchanged. The world cannot know the Spirit because they do not know Jesus. But the way does know Him. In Acts, Christians are called followers of the way. And so on the other hand, followers of Jesus will know the Spirit because the Spirit lives in us. We will know Him because He is with us. This is excellent news. The Spirit of Holy God lives in you and me to help us get through every day. When we come to know Jesus, we get to know the Spirit, for the Spirit comes and lives in us. I love what one commentary says. It says, the Holy Spirit does not work instead of us or in spite of us, but in us and through us. The Spirit of God works in us and through us. Everything we do should be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. When I stand to preach, I need to preach in the power of the Holy Spirit. When I step up to lead, I need to lead in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, last week we talked a little bit about that and how we believe that a pastor is called to lead a church, but how we don't follow them. We continue just to do whatever we want. But that as long as the pastor is leading in the power of the Holy Spirit, then the people are to follow. When we sing, we need to sing in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we have meetings, we need to meet in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we do events, we need to do these events in the power of the Holy Spirit. When we make budgets and plan for the future and do positions, we need to do so in the power of the Holy Spirit. And when we look at a budget and say, we can't afford this budget, we're saying God's not big enough to do it. And we are often the ones that tie the hands of God because we do not believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not believe in the power of the supernatural. And we do not believe in the miracle working power of God. When I look at the Scripture, I see this. They're getting onto Jesus. They're saying, I can't. Are you going to pay your taxes? And so Jesus tells Peter, go get a thing, and the first thing he grabs is going to have a pearl in it, and it's going to cover both of us.
Bible says, my God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. We need to get to the point where we stop being afraid of everything and trusting the Holy Spirit of Holy God to move in our churches. And here's where it's funny. We're afraid where we need to be trusting in God, and we're not trusting, and we're complaining about these one areas when we need to be over here like, man, God is so good. God is awesome. We need to trust God. We need to move in God. And we... It's like what we're saying. I hear people saying, well, we need to trust God to protect our people. But I don't hear anybody saying we need to trust God with our finances. Yeah. I don't hear anybody saying we need to trust God with our programs.
We need to trust God each and every step of the way. We need to trust Him to follow after Him every step of the way. We should not act like the world because we should see the Spirit in our lives. Many churches have become social clubs because they have taken the power of the Spirit out of the equation. Sadly, many churches have become all about themselves. It's about what we want. It's about what we need. It's about what we can do to keep us comfortable and keep us happy. And as soon as those needs are not met, we go somewhere else. As one of the famous presidents says, ask not what your country can do for you, what you can do for your country. That should be the motto of the church. Ask not what the church can do for you, but what you can do for the church. Because we are to be making a difference. There are people lost and dying and going to hell, and we're arguing over silly little things in the church. But hey, we got comfortable pews, so. As soon as we say we can't do, or we don't have the resources, I said a minute ago, we're saying we don't trust God. We are to follow His lead and what He would have us to do. Imagine the difference we would see if we genuinely followed the Spirit's guidance. Imagine how different Hopewell First Baptist Church would be if we gave control to the Spirit. If we stop saying, well, I have more people across the street, so I have more of a say. If we stop saying, well, I give more tithes, then if I leave, they're going to be hurting because I'm taking my tithes with them. That doesn't give you control of the church. I don't care how many people you have buried across the street. You ain't God. Amen. And your family ain't God. And your family didn't start this church. God did. And we need to stop all this crazy family junk. This is not my church. It's God's church. Amen. And we need to get over this traditional junk. And we need to let the Spirit of God loose. We've tied the Spirit of God. We've said, well, we ain't never did it that way. And if you try to change things, we're going to kick you to the curb because we want it our way. We want it the way we've always done it. And if you try to mess anything up, bye-bye. What? And we wonder what's wrong with our churches. Because the Spirit ain't moving. Powerful families are. Whoever gives the most money. Whoever has the most people across the street. It's one of the reasons why churches shouldn't even have cemeteries, because it leads to more problems than anything. People begin to start feeling entitled. Imagine how different Hopewell First Baptist Church would be if we gave control to the Spirit. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge every single one of us to pray this prayer over the next week. Lord, set your spirit free upon your church right here, right now, today. Lord, search our hearts. Show us our sins that we may confess them today. Some of us need to confess our sins of pride and arrogance in this church. I'm probably included. Because sometimes we want it our way instead of the Spirit's way. And sometimes we've got mad when we didn't get it our way. Well, they didn't play the type of music I like. Well, if your problem is with the music, your problem is with your heart. Because worship should have absolutely nothing to do with music. It should have everything to do with the Word of God. And so we're the ones that we're putting all these, again, we're the ones that are hindering the Spirit. We're the ones that's locking the Spirit out. Search us. Show us our sins that we may confess them today. Help us today to see your Spirit moving in your church and in our lives. If we will just look, we can see the Spirit moving. Lord, now this is going to be the hardest part of the prayer. Lord, we give control to you today. Lead us by your Spirit. Lord, move so that none of us can take the credit. We want God to move in such a mighty and powerful way that it's impossible for any of us to take the credit. I want to challenge each of us to pray this week and watch what God does next Sunday. If every single one of us would agree to pray this prayer this week, that the Spirit of God would take over, that the Spirit of God would be in control of this church, then next Sunday we would see revival break out. And so I challenge you. Because here's the beauty. Because as Jesus says, I'm going to send you another helper, he says, I'm not going to leave you alone. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus reassures his followers by saying that he's not going to leave them as orphans, but he's going to come to them. He knows he's about to go to heaven, so he takes the time to encourage his followers that this is not the end. He tells them he's going to prepare a place for them. He tells them that he will come back for them. He tells them that he's going to send another helper. He tells them that he's going to see them again. Jesus would come to them again. He'll appear to them after his death and resurrection. He would send them the Spirit. And here's where it gets awesome. He's coming back for his church. We will see him again. Not only is God with us in the wilderness, and not only is he with us as we enter in the promised land, but he gives us the Spirit to help guide us where we need to go. As Christians, we have the Spirit of God living in us. We need to open our hearts to hear and heed what the Spirit is saying to us. If we are to be the church God would have us to be, we need to be a Spirit-led church. Jesus promised he would send another helper to his followers, and that helper now lives in every follower of Jesus. The question is, will we listen to the Spirit, or will we do it our way? The question is, are we going to choose to do what we've always done? Are we going to choose to do it our way? Are we going to choose to be who we've always been? Or are we going to choose to be who God would have us be? Are we going to choose to be the church that God has called us to be? So what is God saying to us today? Does the Spirit lead in our life? Does the Spirit lead in our life? Do you see the Spirit in your life? Do you even see the Spirit moving? Do you see the Spirit moving in your life? Do you see the Spirit moving in the church? Are you ready for Jesus' return? Because he's coming. And quite frankly, when he returns, I don't want him to find us fighting over silly things. When he comes, I want him to find us serving him faithfully. Seeing people come into faith in Jesus Christ. Being the church that he has called us to be. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage. We thank you for this powerful message that you have given of the Spirit come into us. And I pray, Lord, that we would let the Spirit loose, that we would let the Spirit have control. I pray that we would get out of the way, that it would not be about us, but it would be about the Holy Spirit of Holy God. I pray, awesome Father, that you would just move in your church. I pray that you would grow the giving. I pray that you would grow the attendance. I pray that you would grow the Sunday school. I pray that you would grow the Wednesday night. I pray that you would grow the Sunday night. I pray that you would grow because people want to know you more, because people want to be closer to you. I pray that you would grow us more because we are opening our hearts to hear and listen to the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit would say to us. And I pray that you would help us to be a church that is on fire for you, led by the Spirit of Holy God. And I pray that we would get out of the way and that we would trust you. Lord, we thank you and we love you. It's in the beautiful name of Jesus we ask and pray. Amen.